welcome to Sprawlcast, the English language broker but no podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And I think it's safe to say winter has arrived.
It has. It's cold out there, campers.
It's getting very cold, indeed.
Yeah. You had a tram adventure.
To get here.
Yes.
Yes.
What the hell was that?
I jumped on the... So I had to buy cat food on the way here. So I got out of the... Albert, and I realised that the number three, which I would normally take to yours, is gone. I can see it in the distance. I'm like, I'm going to walk to Cheska. Got the number five. Fine. This tram adventure is going swimmingly. Don't even get to the next stop, Moravsky Namyesti, where it just stops for no reason. And then I get barged in the back by the driver running to the other end of the tram. He looked very much like Andy Warhol. The tram then went in reverse for about 30 seconds for, I don't know, and then it went as normal and until to your stop, where it just decided to just go straight past it all the way to Yugoslavska, and then it just sat there for a while and the doors wouldn't open.
Yeah. Rogue tram.
Rogue tram.
That's odd, yeah.
By some distance, the most exciting thing that's happened to me this week.
That tram after its 15 minutes of fame there.
I mean, very good tying in an Andy Warhol quote into that, actually.
It's the best I could do. It was either that or just saying soup four times.
Soup. Do you know who I like? That Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, no, she was great. Anyway, I'll tell you who's not great.
It's Berner, yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to look at the three games that have happened since we last spoke to you.
Sort of look at three games.
We've got a bunch of quizzes. We've got Hot or Not. We've got Beer of the Podcast and no previews because it's the winter break, kids.
I think I said this last year as well. Cannot wait. Cannot wait for like 3 months without having to worry about Zbrojovka Brno Football Club.
Yeah, get some lovely, fresh, shiny signings in, maybe, probably.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Right. Let's see what the actual team that we've got now did a while ago. We have played two B teams recently. We played Slavia B at home and then we played Banik B away. And
sandwiched in between that was also a cup game, which we do not really wish to talk about.
No, we lost 4-0 to Sparta at their place, which was unsurprising, seeing as basically they played their second string, which still contained four full internationals.
Fair play.
Yeah.
All the best in the tournament, etc.
Yeah. Anyway, the other one of the Prague Big Two sent their B team down to Srbska, and it was a game played in front of 770 people.
I mean, that's Varnsdorf levels of support, isn't it?
And that was the official attendance. And we all know that they like to bump that up a little bit.
Because they include the season ticket
holders
that haven't turned
up. Even then, it was a game so unmemorable that even the official Sprawka website calls it less than lively, describing the opening as a 10-minute fumble full of inaccuracies, which makes it sound a lot like my first year at university.
Oh, I thought you were going to say losing your virginity, actually, which would also work.
Both of those things happened at the same time. Yes, far too much information there for you, listener, but here we go.
Well, makes up for the lack of information we're going to give you about these other games.
Stepan Beran opened the scoring for Slavia, and Lukasz Kuber scored his first Brno goal to level things up just before half-time. The 45 minutes was notable for a couple of goalmouth scrambles and a shocking lack of quality on the whole. I mean, it really... Like, I don't remember anything about this. It was Liam and myself there, and I don't... Yeah, I genuinely can't think of a single thing that happened, really.
I'm just looking back on it. Listeners might recall that I... a while ago now, to be fair, a good season passed, had a bit of a crusade against, I believe, what I called one of the worst centre-back pairings in the world, which was Shural and Endel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, does Stjepanek and Pernica like match up to that, basically?
Stjepanek is a car crash.
And Pernica can't be arsed.
Yeah.
I think they might be worse.
I think they're worse, yeah. At least, you know, at least Endel now and again had... something about him. I quite rated him. He could you know, he was more than willing to get his face in the way of things. Yeah. So yeah, then we, I mean, that's literally all to do with that. Then we went up to Silesia to play Bannock B. And we won. We won 2-1. We beat the only team with a worse defensive record than ours.
Yeah. Apologies to anyone that was trying to follow that away game on this Broyhovcast Twitter, because I don't know what I did the night before, but I woke up and the match had finished.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, I was sort of barely even cognizant of it. I was aware we were playing, but yeah.
The one time we get a good win and miss it completely.
Yeah. The one thing to note is that without Roman Potocny, this team would be even more sunk than it is currently.
Yes.
You know, say what you like about whether... Because he's not the most popular figure among the fans after the end of last season. He went on that kind of tirade against, you know, this is the worst club I've ever played for, the fans are shit, blah, blah, blah. But that was because it was in the middle of, you know, striking ultras and nobody turning up because of the ownership shebang.
Yeah.
So he didn't make a lot of friends by slagging off the fan base and, you know. But, to be fair, you can't say he's not the most professional player out there right now. You know, filling in as a makeshift centre-forward, he's scored 7 league goals. Incredibly, sitting joint third in the goal-scoring charts alongside your friend and mine, Vukadin Vukadinovic.
Big Vuk.
Yeah, so there's fun.
A cult hero. I mean, that's also a damning indictment of, well, where are the goals coming in the rest of the team? And then also, how bad must your defence be if you've got, you know, if you're scoring these goals and then you've got nothing to show for it?
Yeah. It's... Potocny, obviously, is our top goal scorer, is 7. And Cronus...
4?
5.
Okay. Now. Oh, okay. Maybe I'm just painting a bleaker picture.
Janecki's got 2... Smekal and Stepanovski, amazingly, with that penalty, 1 apiece. And Lukasz Kuber, as previously mentioned, got off the mark for Brno in the previous game. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 goal scorers. So that's exciting, isn't it?
So 18 goals for the season. I'm looking at. I'm skipping ahead to include the goals in the game against Opava. Looking around, and there are about 3 teams that have less than us. Remarkably, third place Vyshkov have less.
Yes, but they can defend.
Yes, this is true. This is true. Taborsko have 17. Lyshen have 17. Ostrava B have 17, and that's your lot.
Yeah, it's our not scoring enough and conceding an absolute shed load, which is, you know, the classic recipe for being down where we are.
Yeah, well, considering that one team has conceded more goals than us in the whole league.
Exactly, and that's the team we beat.
Yes.
Yeah. sort of general league goal-scoring charts with a lot of help from us. Tomasz Netzid is having his sort of...
having his swan song, isn't it?
Yeah, yes. Absolutely springtime for Netzid. With 13 goals from the goal-scoring charts.
13 goals, yeah.
You have to say fair play.
You do have to say fair play, and I think, you know, we've helped him to a couple already. So
yeah, exactly, yeah. I mean, he would be, I think, joint top if he hadn't bagged that hat-trick against us. So, Tom, you're welcome.
Yeah. I saw, actually, it wasn't a hat-trick in the end. They made an own goal.
Oh, did they?
Damn league. But yeah. I mean, because actually, at that point, you just want it to be like, you know what, just give him the hat-trick, you know, for all he's sort of done. I mean, 35.
Yeah.
Plugging around. And that's looking like, you know, say it quietly, a reasonably half-decent looking Victoria Žižkov going up 4th now in the
league. Yeah, more than tasty.
I mean, reasonably good by second-tier standards, which is still miles off it. Because this whole season, really, the story of the season is, you know, it's not how but when Zlín get promoted. No one else is going to. I'm going to put that out there right now. No one else is going to be going up. So, yeah.
Yeah, because Zlín will take the place of Český Budějovice, who are by far and away the most appalling team the top flight has ever seen. They're still stuck on two points. And had that incredible game against Teplice where they went 2-0 down, brought it back to 2-2, and then lost 5-2 recently. I mean, they are an absolute, yeah. Worse than a shower.
If you think I'm taking that train next season to Ceska Budějovice away, you've got another thing coming, by the way. But
yeah. Right, shall we go on to... Apparently, you have a two-part quiz for me.
I do, yes.
Right, should we do part one of that?
Let's give it a go.
Okay.
Right, it's a quiz. It's a two-part quiz.
Yeah, you built this up in a fairly... terrifying way. You said it was like soul destroying or something.
Because I remembered that. Remember a while back, I did a Career We Go of Czech footballers mostly.
Yeah.
And it was badly judged, let's say.
Okay.
So I think I've probably done the same again. So if in case it's too difficult, I'm just going to say it's for the benefit of our cleverer listeners.
Thanks.
So.
Yeah.
As you well know, David, because I do this podcast with you and have for many years, once the podcast finishes, does the party stop? No, we go and watch University Challenge and Only Connect.
Mm-hmm.
So here is Only Connect for you in podcast quiz form. And you'll be pleased to know that this is not Czech football related, it is universally
related.
So I am going to, we're going to have five questions from connections.
Mm-hmm.
What are the connections between these
seemingly random players?
And
clues. Yeah,
and then we will go for a sequences round.
Okay.
And I think the sequences round might be possibly easier.
Okay.
So we'll see. So would you like, so the way that we'll do it is that I will.
I have Horace, please.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I didn't think of that. I should have assigned them to it. But what will happen is that I will give you a clue. If you would like to go for it for 5 points,
sure,
you are free to. If not, you will ask for another clue all the way down until it goes to one point.
I'm aware of the format. Okay.
Yes, but I don't know how many of our listeners are.
Right, okay,
so,
yes, fine.
Okay, so we're going to start now. So, yeah, we need to know what the connections are between these random clues.
Okay.
Question one, I'm going to start with Northampton Town.
Next.
Chelsea.
This is going to take a lot of editing down, by the way.
Absolutely, it will take a lot of editing down.
Thundertown, Chelsea. Next.
Wolverhampton Wanderers.
Next.
West Bromwich Albion.
No, I was going to say they all play the same walkout music.
I'm going to give you that,
all right,
yes.
Nice.
So these are four clubs in the English Football League system that lay claim to the Liquidator,
mm-hmm,
as their sort of their G-up or walkout music.
Yeah, by the...
Henry J. All-Stars.
Yeah, Harry J. All-Stars. Yeah, yes. I can't remember. I was going to say the J. Giles All-Stars. Yes. That's a very different band.
So, good. So, off the mark,
okay, yep,
which is great because the other ones are worse, I'm afraid.
Oh, God.
So the next question then is Michael Proctor.
Former...
Aberdeen player.
Yeah, Chelsea, Reading. Okay, next.
I can never pronounce this name. Vote Face.
Yes.
The Belgian.
The Leicester City centre-half.
Yes.
Voltfas, Michael Hector.
There you go. Voltfas, like the French term. Michael Proctor, Voltfas.
Next.
Jamie Carragher.
Squad number 23?
Nope, not what I've got here.
Oh, okay.
Would you like your fourth one?
Yeah, next.
This might give it away or not. We'll see. John Walters.
Fast Walters, Carragher. Nope.
They are the four players in Premier League history to have scored two own goals in one match.
Oh, well, there
so
you
this
go.
Is John Walters, who famously, I think it was Chelsea 4, Stoke City, I think it was Chelsea or Liverpool 4-0 against Stoke City, where he scored
that's
two and then
right.
missed a penalty.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
So, okay, you see the level that we're going for here. Okay, all right, my apologies for the for these next two. Corinthians versus Gremio, 23rd of October,
Christ.
2013.
Good Christ, next.
Uruguay versus Ghana, 2nd of July, 2010.
Next.
England versus Italy, 24th of June, 2012.
Is Suarez involved with Uruguay? thing?
No.
Okay.
I mean, he played, but...
Okay, next.
Okay, so it's a final one, and I think this is how you'll get it. Czechoslovakia versus West Germany, 20th of June, 1976.
One with a Panenka.
Have Panenka in the penalty shootout. Right, they all went to penalties, and they all had a Panenka.
Oh, that was PLO versus Joe Hart,
yes.
Wasn't it? Yes, okay.
Yeah. Actually, the Corinthians versus Grêmio one was a miss.
Hmm.
I'm going to swap these two around, actually, because this one's a bit easier. Okay, Sharp.
spell it.
S-H-A-R-P.
Okay, so like the view cam, not Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next.
Meta Copiers.
Right, they're all sponsors then. I never knew if it was Meta or Miter.
Well, Miter for me sounds too close to Miter, the football.
Yes, that's thing, true. So, yeah. Okay. Sharp, Meta Copiers. Next.
Norwich and Peterborough.
I was going to say sponsors for the top three in the first Premier League season, but Leeds won the first Premier League season. So
did they?
I thought Leeds did. Okay, is it the top three or the top four sponsors of the first Premier League season?
It is, because we'd be rounding off with McEwen's Lager, which sponsored Blackburn Rovers.
Yeah. Nice, okay,
so well done,
enough.
There you go. That's
Norwich being the outlier there, because they finished third and then went into Europe and they beat Bayern Munich, I think, which is insane.
Meta Copiers sponsored?
Villa.
Yeah, there you go. And with the greatest of apologies in the world, your final one for this round. UTC plus two, July.
Okay, it's a time zone in, like, Turkey, maybe? Okay, next.
UTC minus three, July.
Are they World Cup final venue time zones?
Coming in for the 3 points.
Go on.
You could have had then after that UTC plus three, July, and then the one that I thought might give it away is UTC plus three, December.
Yeah, Qatar, nice.
Well, you know what?
Cracking.
I think you did.
That was all right, actually.
I think you did quite well on those.
That was a nice, elastification of the brain. That was quite good. I enjoyed that.
Well, I like stretching. So part two will be coming up later on in the programme.
Okay, let's do a very quick beer of the podcast, because we never have it this early in, so let's shake things up a little while. Bish, bash, bosh, it's
Beer of the Podcast! You say TikTok is beer o'clock.
I did say that, yeah.
Good. This is my Beer of the Podcast, podcast beer. And this is another one, David, that I won in a competition.
Because
I got third place in a darts competition.
The darts is really doing you a massive favour on this. It really is.
It's helping me. I was going to give myself a much smaller beer than you. I've given myself a little less than you.
Yes.
And this is just because I have spent the last couple of weeks without any alcohol at all. But to be honest with you, I could go a beer. So so this is going to be my sort of treat for 2 weeks of trying to sort out my body.
Yeah, I will also say that if you're listening to this on Friday, which hopefully that's when it will go out, listener, Saturday, Sam and I are off to London for the weekend to see There Might Be Giants at the Roundhouse, and you're definitely going to real ale.
Yes,
so while we're there.
I am, my joke was going to be that I'm converting to either Mormonism or Islam, if it was raised at all during this podcast. However, I'm going to be cutting down on drinking.
Yes.
But not as,
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah, within reason.
Yeah. So this is more about the fact that I play darts twice or three times a week, and I need to drink a lot to play darts properly. Turns out that actually I don't need to. So there we go.
There you go. You learn something about yourself every day, don't you?
So this could be
there
an interesting drop. So this is a Siberia.
Ooh.
And it is it's called Timeless Oak.
Good
aged.
Label, by the way. Nice. That absolutely looks like a sort of,
it's very,
album cover
it's
by
very
like
black metal.
I was thinking like
Sorry, I'm going to sneeze there.
Yeah, I was thinking like Timber Tambra.
Oh, okay.
Or somebody, you know.
All right. We were going total ends of the spectrum there. Yeah, I mean, this could be a Burzum cover for all I know. Yeah, oak-aged pale lager.
Oak-aged pale lager. It is very pale, to be fair.
Yes, and you don't usually get oak-aged. Like, there is barrel-aged beer.
Yes.
But they tend to not really be lagers, and they tend to be actually incredibly strong. And this one is not. This
yeah,
one
because
is...
we've had some oak barrel-aged stuff before. It was that really posh stuff with the cork.
Yes.
Do you remember?
I
and it was
this.
Really not that nice.
Yes.
So we'll see. We'll see. We'll
I mean,
see what happens
I feel
here.
It's about 3/4 to 1/4 of not that nice to actually nice beers that we've done throughout the however many years we've done this. But this is 5.6%.
Oh, it's a yeah.
So
it's a fair whack.
It's
then.
Added something to it.
Yeah.
But I mean, 5.6 is. I mean, like it's like I was going to say like a Stella. It's not a Stella. It's like 5.1. But
yeah, it's a 14, isn't it?
Stronger than your
yeah.
usual yeah. 12, let's say in this country.
It's definitely got something about the smell to it that's right. This is going to be a weird thing to say, but it yeah. smells deeper than the colour is.
Yeah. It. You know what?
There's a slight smokiness
yeah,
to it.
There's something
to the
it.
Smell.
It does remind me of. It does remind me of something. It, you know what? It reminds me of about 12:45 on a Friday at the Doublet Bar in Glasgow.
That's a very specific sense memory there.
No one else is going to get that who listens to this, I think, but it's got that sort of smell about it.
Okay, well, here we go.
Oh, God, I've missed beer.
That's really nice. There's a flowery sweetness to the front of it.
You know what? And maybe, like, this is the one thing as well, because I've not, I mean, for me, two and a bit weeks, well, actually, all of this month, I haven't had any beer. You know, you start to sort of, like, doubt your sense because you haven't been, you know, yeah. used to doing it. It's got a touch of McEwen's Export about it. And I love a McEwen's Export. I love, like, after, you know, the football, going with my dad to the Blue Lamp in Aberdeen and having a couple of pints of McEwen's Export.
That's nice, though. It's light, it's flowery, there's a bit of sweetness
yeah.
to it. Yeah.
I'm into that.
That's good,
that.
I'm
into
good
that.
Find.
I mean, well, I say good,
well,
good, well,
yeah,
good find.
Good find by whoever bought the prizes
find,
for the darts.
Good find Filda from Darts Academy, Zidanitsa, who
yeah.
does the beer prizes, I think, for the Friday night tournament. If you are ever in Brno and do play darts, and it is 7 o'clock at Darts Academy, Zidanitsa, 150 crowns to play, group stage plus straight knockout, 501, double one steel darts.
What he said.
We'll see you there.
Right. Shall we talk briefly about Opava?
Yes, let's do that.
Final game before the winter break was a home game against the Silesian Football Club of Opava,
yeah.
as they're known in Czech. And there were a bunch of us there. Alex made it up from
yeah.
Bratislava.
Always good to see Alex.
Yep. There was you, me, Liam, Ben and Julia.
Yes.
Was also there. And the return of Jirka, the old guy who stands near us, who
Jirka's
has been away
back.
For like, ooh, a year maybe? Again, apparently health issues, but he looked really good. He looked better
yeah.
than I've seen him before, you know, full of, you know, colour and vim, I suppose.
Full of colour and vim.
Yeah.
The exact opposite to the football match that we witnessed, I would suggest.
It was a weird game.
It was very weird.
In the off of a scored after 10 minutes or so, and then for an hour, absolutely nothing of note happened.
I'll be honest with you, the only thing of note that happened between that time was suddenly about 80, I think it was about 80 strong away support, just started waving Polish flags.
That's right, yes. Waving Polish flags and waving Czech flags.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
To the resolving chance around the stadium of Polskie Kurwy,
yeah.
which was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd totally forgotten about that. That was weird, wasn't it? It went on for a very long time as well.
It did. I mean, this is evidently something to do with the armistice, etc.
Yes.
I don't understand the things of it. I just found it very deeply, deeply strange and was at least a welcome distraction from the football that was taking place, because I think it's fair to say that for most of the match, Borjovka offered absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I mean, Opava went 2-0 up and we're all kind of bleh, because, yeah, it was just Opava outplaying us and,
yeah,
you know. But then on 70 minutes... That man again, Roman Petrovsky, scores one of the weirdest goals you'll see for a while. It's a really... And this kind of sums up how this team scores goals now. Basically, it's a ball from wide right, finds Martin Novi, who's run from fullback into an ocean and found himself in an ocean of space on the penalty spot. He tries to sort of wrap his body around for a volley, falls over. Yeah. The ball bounces off the back of his knee... into the path of Potocny, who's sort of falling over himself, and he manages to stab it home. It's one of the. It's an absolute shit show. It's a hilariously inept goal, but you know they all count.
Cracking assist is what I put down at the time. Yes, and then I think just the whole. I mean, you expect a Jeremy Beadle to come up behind the boarding or whatever, because there was a certain "you've been framed" quality to it. And I think that this can only explain then what happened next, because from that point for like the next 10 minutes, Opava seemed to switch off entirely.
For the next 10 minutes, in fact, it was 5 minutes later that we equalised. Smekar manages to wriggle through Opava's defence on the edge of the area and scuffs the ball to Janecki, who just about manages to sort his feet out.
Yeah.
Again, also falling forwards
and
equalises. And then nothing happens again until the end of the game. Just, very, very odd.
Just mental. I mean, there's a couple of things I would like to raise just on this. First of all, which is just to remind you what happened, because at 16:28 p.m. on the 9th of November, this is what I wrote 30 seconds before we got one back in through Potocny, which is, we're just existing at this point, no ways Borjovka get back into this.
Yeah.
You're welcome. But the second thing that I wanted to raise, and this actually has to go down a bit deeper, because, you know, we are looking forward to a real clear out... And we'll probably at some point over Christmas actually go a bit in depth about what's at stake with this. But this to me suggests that the clear out has to go right up all the way through up to coaching level as well. Because you are, for whatever reason, you are, you know, you're 1-0 down and you are chasing the game. So I like having subs at halftime. I think that actually what we've had before under previous managers is when we've been chasing games, we haven't made subs. It's been 70 minutes or whatever, until any changes. But if you're chasing the game, like, can somebody please explain to me why you would take off Lukas Kuber and then put on Jakub Šural?
Oh, yes, that happened. That also happened.
Because I was raging about it at the time. I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah. I mean, I don't have an answer, obviously, to that. It's interesting that you should mention about changes going all the way to the top, because we now have two new kind of fitness gurus in the squad. And the club published a 10-minute video earlier today talking to I think his first name is Josef Anderle, who's like the new fitness, like, you know, head of fitness. And he's come in and he's spoken about, okay, you know, we've done all these tests for the players about basic fitness, strengths, you know, core strength, muscle strength, down to things like, you know, vision, accuracy, all these things. And what we're going to do is put together an individual training plan with goals that need to be met and et cetera and so forth. There are teams in the National League that do this already.
Yes.
You know, like, this is this club is so far behind everybody else that this seems like a revolutionary enough idea for a 10-minute video on social media.
It's a 10-minute admission that we didn't do fitness training.
Exactly. Basically, The absolute basics of, we're going to take you one by one, look at what you need to improve, and then give you a training program. apparently this is a revolutionary idea for this club.
This is, yeah, I mean, it's absolutely crazy. And I mean, if that is the level of things, you know, before, then God help us. I mean, let's also keep in mind as well that we, you know, two teams go down from this league, 15th and 16th. Borovka Brno were 14th, level on points with Ostrava B, with Varnsdorf 4 points behind, arguably going to start getting cut off if they don't have a real improvement in March. So, you know, like, it's clown car sort of stuff. But also part of me goes, if these are the sort of the brave new ideas that are coming forward, if they are seen as brave new ideas rather than just things that a normal team should do, then it does give me a little pause for thought about the actual ownership. Because, like, the ownership and the thing has been, it's been talking a good game, but we've seen people come in and managers come in and trainers come in and owners come in before that have talked a good game. And I'm a bit concerned that, you know, what's actually going to happen and if the words are going to, well, the intent's going to match the words, let's say.
However, I think what this is a kind of admission that they weren't even doing the basics before.
Yeah.
Going, you know, we're going to come in, we're going to do this because it's the fucking minimum that a professional football team should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I choose to read it. I may be wrong, but but hey, it was pointed out earlier that under the previous ownership regime under Roman Pross, as Pavel sent us in the group chat today, that the pre-Bartoniec owner had invested in a lie detector machine to you know, to check that his players were, you know, giving everything they could, apparently.
Yes, I did read it. I did do that stunning as well. Work. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
Yes, I am actually pouring the rest of the beer,
yep,
David.
Yeah, you go ahead.
I love beer.
Yay. Anyway, so that's kind of all about Upper Vareli, because it was just a bizarre game. It was a very odd game. We got a point from it, so that was nice.
And actually, when we were, you know, to be fair, right, I mean, we have actually got 5 points from a possible 9 from the last 3 league matches, which is actually,
which is comfortably mid-table form.
Well, it's better form than we've had before. And
comfortably mid-table form.
I will absolutely take comfortable mid-table this season, because that's actually what we need.
Yeah.
It remains to be seen how much stuff you can actually do in January as well, because, you know, summer is always a time for getting the big guns into to football teams generally. But so, you know, I don't want to go too much into this now, actually, because, hey, we're all on a high because we don't have to watch the team for another few months. But I think at some point over Christmas, winter, Festivus, Kwanzaa, however you celebrate, we will do some sort of more hashtag analysis on this stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Until then, would you like a very short quiz I put together? It's nowhere near the same in-depth, structuring and format stealing that you've done, but it's just 5 questions on stuff.
I'd be delighted to do.
Okay. Right, here's a lovely quiz that I've written, and it is just 5 random player facts about players from this division.
Aha.
There's no other theme than that. And here we go. Question number 1. Libor Kozak plays for Opava.
He does.
Indeed, he began his career there, but after scoring 19 goals in 41 games over 2 seasons, which Italian giant inexplicably signed him? This was like, he played for them 2006-2008, and then went directly from Opava to a massive Italian team.
It's Lazio.
It is Lazio, yeah. I'm not entirely sure how or why they were scouting what would have been, I think, the Czech second division at that time.
You'd presume a hotbed of the far right.
Well, yeah, maybe.
By the way, like, Libor, if you're listening, which you're not, I'm not insinuating for one moment that you are part of the far right.
No, he seems like a perfectly pleasant chap. Number 2, which nation does Jihlava trier Justin Araujo Wilson represent?
Oh, no, I've looked him up so many times. so many times. Mm-hmm. Oh, so many times I have, the amount of previews that I've done, he's been with them for 4 seasons now, isn't it, like this? I really want to say the United States, but I don't think it is. Just for the issues of brevity, I'm just going to say United States.
I can give you a clue if you want.
Yeah, go on.
It's a Caribbean nation.
It's that sort of, Is he capped?
I don't know.
I doubt it. Even if, but Caribbean, Trinidad and Tobago.
Bang on.
Oh, nice one.
Yeah.
It's the Wilson bit.
Yeah. Number three, Vlashim have a midfielder whose surname is the same as a Japanese pop cultural art form. What's his surname?
Is Bukkake an art form? No. Yeah.
Yeah. Bobby Bukkake.
Bobby Bukkake. A Japanese art form.
Like, yeah, a kind of like pop cultural art form.
I've got no idea. I'm just going to say origami, which you can take as a pass.
His name is Frankie Manga.
Oh wow, yeah, I would never have made that connection whatsoever. Yeah, okay.
He's from Cameroon apparently, yeah. And all power to him, I say. Question four: former podcast favourite Jakub Alexeyevich Chernin. Can I just say?
Thank God that section finished.
Has started every game but one in the heart of which team's defence?
Oh.
He was there last year as well.
He was. Oh, this is actually a terrible quiz round for someone that does the podcast and looks at the squads more than you, basically. Yeah. Chernin. I've got two in my mind. It's Lyshen and Prostyov. It might be neither. Acid Lyshen?
No, it's Lean. Yes.
Jesus Christ.
Yes, because he was in their defence when they came down from their catastrophic First League season. And
he got a move up the way.
Yeah.
That totally passed me by. Fucking hell. It was rubbish. It was rubbish.
Well, you know, it's like, you know, he's clearly more than good enough for this league.
Him and big Vukadinovic.
Yeah, with Zlín conceding, what, I think 5 goals all season?
Oh, Zlín just taking the piss. Yeah.
And question five. Has Jakub Reznicek scored more league goals this season? Has his arch nemesis Jan Reznicek scored more league goals this season? Or have they both scored the same number of league goals this season?
Right, just based on the fact that he... This is a thing as well, because Jan Reznicek is not a striker. But
no,
also,
he's not. But he always scores against us.
That's true. And
which
also,
is why I've put arch nemesis.
And also Hrudim are... flying by Hrudim standards. I think it's Jan Reznicek, so I'm just going to say that.
They have both scored 2 goals.
I should have thought about that. I should have really thought about that. Why would you put
Why
that
would
in
I
otherwise?
Put that in? Yeah.
The mind tricks, you know.
There you
Absolutely
go.
Absolutely raging now. Thank you, David, for a great quiz.
That might be a knot. Do you want to do hot or not?
Let's do that.
It's hot or not time. I actually have got 2 knots because I put one in the other day and a very short hot.
Uh-huh. I have the traditional.
Yeah. Okay. In that case, I'm going to start with a knot that I discovered a couple of weeks ago, and it is Team J.
Please explain.
It's an animated kids TV series made by Juventus.
Oh, no.
It... quote, follows the adventures of Juventus mascot Jay the Zebra, who shares his passion for football with his friends Matteo, Cami, Wushu and Duke. Together they embark on exciting adventures, applying the skills they've learnt from playing football in fun and engaging ways. End quote. This is the exact sort of corporate wank speak that you know that this is TV made with a lot of cynicism and no love whatsoever.
That is TV made by a group of 20 people around a table.
Absolutely.
Isn't it?
Yeah. In fact, it gets even more depressing. Uh-oh. It's making the move from YouTube to television thanks to a partnership with, again, quote, a global media and entertainment company with expertise in sports media management, streaming services, content production, and digital monetization, which are words that will scream quality, care, attention to detail, and I'm sure every parent with even an ounce of romance in their soul loves to hear.
It's always teams like fucking Juventus, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's always just like, it's always press releases that use the word leverage a lot as well, isn't it? How can we leverage the untapped potential of AI and all this sort of stuff? Yeah. It's fuck off, honest to God. Like, a genuine, like, well done, dear. A genuinely upsetting knot.
Yeah, right, it really, yeah. It really, really riled me up. Yeah. I hate this shit. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, go.
Okay, so my knot this type is Scottish football TV programme A View from the Terrace and Albion Rovers Football Club.
Okay.
Did you hear about this?
You really love A View from the Terrace.
I think A View from the Terrace has been a breath of fresh air in the fact that we actually have a sort of What do they always call these programmes? An irreverent look,
yes.
You know, at the beautiful game, etc. But it's actually done from a Scottish football perspective where people aren't talking just about, you know, like bloody English football and European football. You have people talking about Green and Morton, yeah, and Stenhouse Muir, yeah, and this sort of stuff.
And also a Scottish football podcast that isn't Old Firm centric.
Yes. So, I love this. And View from the Terrace, of course, is the BBC TV version of it on a Friday night. And there is a section every so often with a guy called Duncan Mackay, who's a good lad, and it's called Put a Shift In. So you see him doing things like he's a mascot for Falkirk 1 week, and then he's, you know, doing some stuff and, you know, shoveling, you're doing the safety stuff for, I don't know, you know, pick any Scottish team the next, yeah, right? But then what happened was, I believe a step too far, and this became on the, you know, this came, this was news all around Scotland, which is that Duncan Mackay was going to be first team manager for one match of Albion Rovers Football Club.
Okay.
Albion Rovers, of course, traditional Scottish football club from Coatbridge, got relegated the other season from the Scottish League Two and have gone down to Lowland League. They were going to play Hearts B. And basically, they allowed him, or were going to allow him, to then manage the team, having no football experience, no coaching experience, no nothing, for this one game against Hearts B, right? First of all, I think that's a terrible thing. I think that's too much. That's a gimmick too far, first of all, to it manage
is
a team.
Yeah, it is.
And obviously, if you are an Albion Rovers supporter, then I would be absolutely raging about that, because I've not been consulted. This is the thing. You're doing this for, let's be real as well, for a BBC thing or whatever. It's not getting, you're not getting paid for this or whatever. It's just like, seems like a gimmick way to sort of possibly, yeah, try, rightly or wrongly, to promote the team or whatever. So I thought that was pretty bad. What made it worse was that actually they then, a day before this game was due to take place, there was club statement,
okay,
in which they had to release an official statement saying that Duncan Mackay has been, and I quote, relieved of his duties as first team coach.
Oh, wow.
Now, if you're going to go along with this as a gimmick, I think you have to see it through at this point, because I think club statement and relieving his duties, either this is a very in-joke thing that's gone way over my head, or it just looks like you've absolutely shat it at that point.
Yeah.
And I mean, I just don't think that's a very good look for a Scottish football programme that's supposed to be about the fans, but then also a football club that's been falling on hard times, that's trying to take itself seriously. I just think it's just a mess. And I thought it was a really stupid idea from both sides, basically. And not to attach blame, you know, over one or the other, but I think they were both in the wrong. And one thing, to be honest, I think right now in, not even just in Scottish football, in like just world football, one thing we need is less gimmicks. I don't want another...
Fewer gimmicks.
Every single fucking time, man.
I'm sorry. Right. I can't not.
All right, what I want is no...
I know it winds, all right. I know it winds you up, sorry.
No gimmicks, David. you know, we do not need another fucking PR-crafted six-part... your docu-series about this team trying its best, or, you know, we're now putting in dynamic pricing into this sort of stuff, or like, just like, fuck off with all of it. Just have fan-led football again, please.
This is actually coming onto something that I was considering as a knot, which is, I can't remember the name of the team, but they're in the Argentinian top flight and they were playing San Lorenzo,
okay,
last week. Yeah. And they started... In their starting 11 was some social media bod who had never kicked a football in his life. This is the Argentinian Premier Division.
Yeah.
They took him off after like 20 seconds or something. Yeah. But, you know, what does that say to the your league, yeah, or your club or your fucking opponents?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it's massively disrespectful to everybody concerned. And it's, yeah, it's madness.
We were talking about this in relation to Ustinad Labem doing, yeah, and taking, yeah, yeah, money for this. And, you know, in the third tier of Czech football. The idea that that's in the and let's be frank, right? The Argentine First Division, Premier League or whatever, is fucked enough as it is with its 1 million teams and you can't get relegated for 3 years bullshit. Like, it's just... Yeah. Can't be doing with it, you know?
Anyway, yeah.
There we go. It's a bit of a rant, but...
Good not, by the way. I had no idea about that. I'll give you my actual sort of more relevant not, and it is, of course, UEFA. Specifically, UEFA punishing Besiktas for the misfortune of being drawn against Maccabi Tel Aviv. Yeah. Have you seen this?
I almost put this in as well.
Yeah. By forcing them to move their Europa League match to Hungary to be played behind closed doors, depriving them and their fans of home advantage and revenue because Maccabi fans are, let's not even go there.
I'll go there.
Go on.
Can I just say to the sort of the media and the people going around this sort of stuff, a bunch of violent football fans taking over a city centre, harassing people that they see who look to be of Arab, Middle Eastern origin, smashing things up. And when people start taking exception to that and trying to stop it down, shut it down.
England will never play in a tournament again.
That is not, that's not a pogrom. And I think that it's incredibly offensive, like genuinely, I mean this, I think it's genuinely offensive to people that have been victims of a lot of sad 20th century history, which happened in places like the Netherlands, that you would ever consider it to be the same as anything associated with that and the wider problem of anti-Semitism. So like, and again, and I say this in all seriousness and with, you know, everything, Maccabi fans can fuck off. There we go. That was it.
That's fine. Yes, I agree. Do you have a hot?
I do. Actually, I technically have two hots.
Okay.
Really. So the one is, I mean, there's a lot of things that we can talk about this time. You know, we've got coked up football referees and things like that, for God's sake. But let's remember, David, it's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's
Mascot Minute Silence.
Yay!
So, yes. So... Please send in to us again your favourites of this year. It is one of my favourites seeing like a swan or a beagle or a hammer with a cheeky face trying to impeccably remember and commemorate our boys dying at the Somme. Like, it's just fantastic entertainment, and a lot of times right now better than the actual football itself. So yeah, Mascot Minute Silence.
Yeah, lovely stuff. I'll finish with my hot, and it is halftime entertainment at Wycombe Wanderers. Half-time in the game between Wycombe Wanderers and York City, Adams Park was serenaded by a bloke on his stag do dressed as Elsa from Frozen singing "Let It Go."
Fantastic!
In fact, it was so prearranged that on the big screen they just put like the YouTube karaoke clip on there so we could sing along. Like they had the like karaoke thing on the big screen in the
court. Yeah.
Amazing.
There is a good genre of that as of people on their stag, isn't it? It's like when one of them becomes a mascot.
Yeah,
it's
very good. Matt 34 in a way too small shirt.
Yeah.
Like holding the captain's hand as he goes out. Incredible.
Just as a very quick aside then, can I just latch onto that and say as a very quick hot then? The wonderful video of the pre-kickoff light show at Millwall where they have a Belgian LED screen company or whatever. There's some sort of light show, which was then roundly booed by the entire crowd.
Yeah, that was very entertaining indeed.
Oh, good stuff.
Oh, yes, good hot or nots, everybody. You have one final quiz round to give me.
I do indeed.
Right, let's do that after this.
Time for the sequences round.
Yes.
So, what I will be giving you again is the clues in the same way as the first round, but I will be asking you to name what is next or what comes forth.
What comes forth in the sequence.
And the first one should be, and I say this again,
with a due sense of exhaustion and dread.
This one should be a gimme, but we'll see, because technically you have two, and I'll give you a clue already, there's two correct answers to this one.
Okay.
So, all right. So we're going to start with Sparta Prague.
Next.
Slavia Prague.
Mm-hmm. Next.
Victoria Pilsen.
Oh, well, it's one of those then, isn't it? or is it? Victoria Pilsen. It's either title winners or it's the top four from last year. I'm going to say Mlada Boleslav.
And you would be incorrect on both of them. What were you going for there?
Well, I was thinking, is it either like title winners?
Yes, it could be. Yes, it is, basically. Oh, that was what I had as thought.
Okay.
To which it would then be...
Viktorka again?
Slovan Liberec. This is the most titles won.
Right, okay. Yeah.
Most titles won in the Czech League.
Because I was thinking it was Spartaslavia, Viktorka, Boleslav, the top four from last year.
Yeah, and that specifically, but it was not because Mlada Boleslav were not fourth, Banik Ostrava were fourth, which is what I would have also given you for this.
Right, yes.
And it has to have been the Czech, like, post-breakup, otherwise it would have been Sparta, Slavia, Dukla, and...
Slovan Bratislava.
There you go, well done. All right, so there we go. Sequence is question two, all right. For example, Scotland...
For example, Scotland. Next.
Republic of Ireland.
Next.
For example, Slovenia.
For example, Scotland.
Republic of
Republic
Ireland.
Republic of Ireland.
For example, Slovenia.
No, I haven't got a clue.
Okay. What if I told you that Republic of Ireland... Republic of Ireland are the only country that have qualified for the Euros exactly three times.
Okay, Georgia.
For example,
Albania.
Yes, so you could have had, for example, Iceland, Northern Ireland, Georgia, Norway, Latvia, Finland, North Macedonia. You couldn't have Albania because they've done it twice, I believe.
Have they? Okay,
yes.
Fair enough.
Scotland have qualified for the Euros finals four times.
Yeah.
Ireland, only country that have done it exactly three times. Slovenia twice. And then I was looking for any country that done it once. Are you ready for your next one?
That was... Very Victoria there. Done it only once.
I watch a lot of this program with you as well, you know. All right, going on to the next one then.
Yeah.
Leeds United.
Next.
Coventry City. Had to put one reference into your team, didn't I?
Leeds United, Coventry City. Next.
Huddersfield Town.
Is it Coventry City again?
It is not. What are you going for?
No, that wouldn't make sense. He never managed Leeds.
It's not about the manager.
No. Is it about a player?
No, it's about a particular football match that these teams played.
Particular football match.
Yep. And I will give you a clue if you would like.
Is it the Anglo-Scottish Cup?
It is not.
Because that is not over, by the way.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it is literally not over.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, go on.
All right, so what if I told you that Leeds United lost 1-0 to Southampton in a particularly lucrative football match at the end of last season?
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. So Coventry City losing Championship playoff finalists. Huddersfield Town losing Championship playoff finalists. And then...
I thought this one was a bit, possibly a bit unfair, but it was the only way I could get Coventry City into things.
Yeah. I don't know, Watford.
Yes, yeah, so you've got it, but it's Swansea City.
Okay.
Swansea City lost them. So it's the losing sides in the Premier League playoff final going backwards. Now, this one I think is kind of fun, so we'll see if you can get this.
All right.
So we're going to start with Stenhouse Muir.
Christ.
Semicolon, none.
Right. Next.
Falkirk, semicolon, Stirling Albion, and Edinburgh City. Had to have one Scottish one, didn't I?
Sorry, Stenhouse Muir.
Semicolon, none. and then Falkirk, semicolon, Stirling Albion, and Edinburgh City.
Okay, there's no apparent pattern there, so next.
Dundee United, semicolon, Inverness Caledonian Thistle, and Arbroath.
I have not got even the slightest idea what this might be.
So this is one specifically, I think, for anyone listening from Scottish football bent. So last season in Scottish football, Scottish League Two, Stenhouse Muir were promoted as champions. Because East Kilbride failed to beat Stranraer, no team got relegated from Scottish League Two. League One, Falkirk won as league champions. Stirling Albion and Edinburgh City got relegated to League Two. Scottish Championship, Dundee United champions, Inverness Cali Thistle and Arbroath got relegated. So what I was looking for was...
Celtic.
Semicolon. And the team that got relegated. Only one team got relegated from the Premiership last season, which was Livingston.
Right.
So there you go.
That's, yes. There was not a hope in hell I was ever going to get that.
Well, I don't know. I thought you'd give a cursory glance of what happens in the Scottish League. Like, I thought that you would get that Dundee United were promoted last season, but...
I was going on a totally different tangent. Yeah. I was thinking, like, okay, I'll tell you what I was thinking.
Go on.
And this is such a deep dive. I was really, like, I was thinking, right, Stenhouse Muir, are there, because it was Stenhouse Muir none, I was thinking, are there literally no teams that Stenhouse Muir hasn't shared a league with?
Oh,
I was going so deep.
Oh, yeah.
And going, right, Dundee United has only not been in the same league. But then I was like, but they've been in the Premiership with Cali, I'm sure. And it was like, yeah, I was overthinking that.
Yeah.
I was going far too deep.
There you go. Well, yes. So, yeah, no, I was just looking for the...
promoted and relegated teams, fuck's sake.
Yeah. But then I guess if you're not familiar specifically with... what particular teams are in which particular league after the Premiership, then it can be difficult. You'll be delighted to know that there's one last one for you here,
oh,
David.
Oh, crikey, okay.
So this is the last one. And this, I think, is maybe possibly a bit kinder. So we'll see. Dean Saunders.
Good. Next.
Trevor Ford.
Trevor Ford? I don't know who that is. Next.
Ian Rush.
Gareth Bale?
Gareth Bale is correct, David. Do you know the sequence?
Top scorers for the Welsh national side.
Absolutely. Trevor Ford, apparently, I think 50s? He was the 20s, okay, I think, maybe. Fine, yeah. So, So Dean Saunders, and Ian Rush, of course, until Gareth Bale came on.
Good, nice.
So that was my quiz. Ooh, for change.
At least, you know, I got that one right in the end.
A little bit of a workout, but I think you did pretty well.
Yeah. We are going to do the quizzes after this. Also, if you would like, after we finish recording this, I have the SK Malomiaritsa pub quiz that we can look through, because I was asked to present it again, but it's this Saturday.
Ah.
So I've written it and somebody else is going to present it, but we can have a look through if you'd like.
I would very
that's
much
kind of fun.
I would very much like to have a look at this, particularly because I was with my girlfriend last night and I've watched The Only Connect, so we only have Uni Challenge to deal with anyway.
Okay, fair enough. Right, that is it from us, listener. We will be speaking to you again once or twice over Christmas, as mentioned, for some bits and pieces that we've got lined up.
I would certainly say that we won't be wishing you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year just yet. I think we will be here for at least once or twice, I would say, before the end of 2024.
Yeah. Either way, still, keep up with us on the socials, and thank you again for listening. And that will be all from us for this particular episode.
Bye. Klíč. Tam tudy vcházejí do dětství ti, kterým je už 16 pryč. V zámku klíč se otáčí, jen prosím, vejděte dál. Pozve vás vosková panenka, s kterou si kdysi kdo zná.
slušného stůta. Co pak máte za přání a na co si dnes budem hrát? Zelená se klokočí a kvete na poli má. Ráda bych hrála si s panenkou, ale už vážně nevím jak. Dětství pro mě, panenko, je dávno ztracený míč. Dobře, že jsou ještě na světě ta malá dvířka a v nich klíč. Ještě na světě ta malá dvířka a v nich klíč.